Priscilla is next. It's the same thing. We have 20 minutes to the first 10 for presentation, 10 minutes for questions.
It's always a little hard to tell time when you're talking, so if I start to...
Do you want me to give you a 5 sign,
yeah,
and a 3 sign, and a 1 sign?
Okay, thanks. Okay. I asked Pete to pass out some information to you. Every year, kind of at the beginning of a new board, I'm trying to figure out what is the information that would be most helpful for you to understand the program. I know many of you are coming back, so you kind of know what the program is, but... There are some new people, and also I think that over the years I'm just trying to figure out how to build up a body of information for you to have as a reference. I don't expect you to read it all at this board meeting, but it's something that hopefully you can put on your desk, and when you want to think about the affiliates program, it'll help you kind of understand what it is. On the first page, I just gave some information, some kind of basics of the program to help you understand how it operates, and some links which I would really ask you at some point to go to pacificanetwork.org, because if you follow the links there or the sections of the website that I list there, it'll really kind of spell out in many ways how we're working. Pacificanetwork.org has been functioning really fully for a little bit more than a year, and it's really turned out to be a great outreach tool. We right now get an average of 2 to 3 inquiries a week through that network for new affiliates. And so it is working, and it's kind of interesting to me. I'm not sure why it is, because it doesn't really get promoted anywhere. But I assume that Google is sending people to us. Mm-hmm. I thought that since it's the beginning of the year, I'd just give a brief overview of what I'm doing, what the affiliates program is doing, so that there's kind of as a ground to think about where we're headed. The affiliates program, as it is now, was created in 2003 by a proposal that was put before the interim Pacifica National Board with a model for rebuilding a new affiliates program for the network. In laying this model, or creating this new model, those of us who worked on building it spoke with a lot of our affiliates and ex-affiliates and asked them, you know, what did they want, what could we do to make them come back, because most of them had left. And essentially what we got, the information we got for them, I think is interesting to you, particularly today after the discussion you had about the licensing, because essentially what they said to us is that they felt that Pacifica had turned them into commodities instead of Pacifica serving them, and that this is why they had all left us. And that so essentially what we did in 2003 with the new proposal was to reposition the Pacifica Affiliates Program in much the same way that David was describing earlier, and Rob, I'm sorry, Rob, essentially saying that Lou Hill's revolutionary idea was that listener was not a commodity, a listener was community to be served. And essentially we did the same thing with the Affiliates Program. We created a program which sees other radio stations, other community radio stations, not as commodities from whom we can make money, but from a community of community radio stations that we will serve as a network. And so that's really the basic idea. And now there's various ways we did it. I don't want to go into the details because of lack of time. But the first step we did was hire an affiliates coordinator, and a large degree of what I do in my job is run errands for affiliates. People have a million things. They want to connect with each other. Recently, I just got an email from somebody, a station that would like me to find out if 5 stations at WBAI could be accessible to them. They want technical information. There's just a million things that are needed when doing radio, and so to a large degree that's my job, among other things. We also provided the audio port, which was one of their first requests, that we provide a service to them where they could exchange programs. They also would like good programming, and I think we've taken a great step towards that. I really welcome Nathan's joining the network, and I'm very excited. I think that's going to really be great to have him with us. And PacificaNetwork.org is also a website that serves the affiliates. And there's various other ways. The most recent of which is that we've joined this campaign called Radio for People with the NFCB and Prometheus Project and a group in on the West Coast who are called Common Frequency, and to help people apply for licenses to build new community radio stations. So essentially, by following this this strategy, if you will, we reestablished the program, and this past year has really been the year where we turned the corner with that. This year, we, as well as reaching beyond the 100 mark of affiliates, I think we're at about 110 now.
Ooh.
And And like I said, it growing at a rate of about 2 a week, which is astonishing to me. And the latest email we just got was from Selma, Alabama, which I think is really, really wonderful. So as well as really having more affiliates than we've ever had historically, we also this year asked the affiliates to pay much higher fees than they had in the past. And I would say 95% of them did agree, and actually agreed graciously. And that, in a way, was a referendum. And why did they agree to do that? They agreed to do it because they really sincerely believed that we are a service organization now to them. And this was a vote of approval. And this was kind of dramatized when we were in Madison last summer at the GRC, and we were confronted with this question. And you know, it was discussed, and our largest affiliate basically took an enormous increase and basically signaled to the rest of the community that this was a worthwhile program to support now. Having said all that, I think that what I want to communicate here is that we do have an affiliates program now. It's back, and it's growing at its own pace, and the things that we wanted to be doing are happening now. You know, I'm getting the kind of calls now that kind of amaze me, but the calls we should be getting, like, you know, how do I access this remote program at WBAI, or, you know, how do I, you know, the questions that really indicate that people now are seeing us as a group of resource and a group of stations that are working together. So it's here. So at this point, we're at the point where we have everything to lose now. And the question is, do we want to really support this and move forward with it and keep it growing? And it's not a stupid question to ask, because I think, again, I would ask you to think of it in light of the discussion we had earlier of the licensing and in terms of where we're headed for a network. And in fact, if we are going to really support the idea of free and accessible information, it does raise the question, why continue to have affiliates? And why continue to support radio stations and support the building of radio stations, really? It's an important question to ask. And the truth is, this affiliates program, its roots are really historical. We have an affiliates program because we had it from the past, but we haven't really asked ourselves, what does an affiliate mean in the future? So this is a question that I would really like to work most with this year with the Affiliates Task Force, and I think it's a great year to be doing it. We tried last year, and it was just too difficult to get there because of other stuff we had to do. But actually, this is a better year because I think as the discussion about licensing matures, I think that it creates a better balance for discussing the issue of affiliates, because it's another question of how do we distribute our material and who buys it and why do they buy it, who pays for what. So this is the question I'd like to work on this year with the task force, so that by the end of this year, I would like this network to know, you know, what an affiliate is and what the new affiliates are going to be, what the new frontiers are for this, and why we're doing it. Why does it make us meaningful? My short answer, you know, for the sake of this talk, is that I believe that I think the affiliates are important, and I think radio stations are still important. Why? Because they are the community centers that are the base of this exchange of information. They are the institutions in this land of ours that have created the community centers that people identify as the place where people can meet and be facilitated. And even though we might have thousands of people that would like to distribute their material online with this new licensing project, the truth is they still need to have a place to go where they will be taught how to do it, where they will be encouraged, will they be able to speak with other people who believe in the same thing, and on and on. And also, so far, our statistics have shown that that podcasting and distribution online is very much enhanced by connection to a community radio station. It really does make a difference in terms of whether people look for your material at all. So I think that the affiliates will still continue to play a role. Thank you.
Thank you,
I gave it to her
because I hadn't been doing the five because I was listening to what she was saying.
I have 2 minutes. Okay. No.
Actually, you don't. You had negative one, but I had forgotten to give you the sign because I was so wrapped up in what you were saying.
All right, let me just finish them with two sentences.
Okay.
Now. One of my projects is learning how to talk really fast. So basically, I think what I'd like to say in the end is that what do I think that the future is for selling our, for affiliates that really involve fees? I think it's really two things. I think it's going to be the services that we offer that aren't connected to programming. It'll be connected to what other things that affiliates need, including building radio stations. And I think the other thing is that it's going to be in the packaging of our programs, because even though the content will be freely available to and already is really, it's the fact that it is part of Pacifica, which makes it something that people want. And it's how we will put that together. And there are new areas for that. For instance, now I'm getting calls from Community Access TV saying, can we have a stream of Pacifica programs to go behind our, community bulletin? And, there are many different ways that we can package our programming in ways that people will want to still buy it. And I think that is the future for the affiliate program. And it's kind of an exciting one because there's a lot of stuff we can do. But ultimately, I think it does connect to whether people perceive Pacifica as really having meaning. And the meaning of our network is standing for something. And so I think ultimately it does lead to it's an outreach issue. It's an issue of how we want to position ourselves as part of the media movement.
You're at negative three now.
Okay. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay. So questions from the board? Bob?
Thanks. That was, as always, a really helpful report. Two questions. On the Radio for People program, that's really got a lot of potential. What are a couple of the largest cities in which groups are applying for licenses? When will they hear back from the FCC? And when you mentioned the help we're giving, does that help include advice about having diverse boards and diverse founding groups?
There's very few cities that have licenses available. I think the only cities that we've located are San Diego and I think on the outskirts of Spokane. But there are cities that you can kind of ricochet into if they have licenses available around them. We're working on Des Moines, which is a decent-sized city, but no really big cities. I think Detroit and San Diego are the only two cities that have a frequency available.
And are there groups there?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, there are definitely groups trying to get that.
And what about our advice about diversity? Does that include advising them that they need to
have diversity? We are not that far along on that. If you would like to give me some recommendations of information, I'd be happy to pass it on.
Sure.
We're not quite there yet. The second question you
the
asked
FCC
was
window.
The
when?
FCC window. Nobody knows when the window will occur. Our sources are telling us that it'll occur in April or May. However, the Radio for People Coalition is is considering asking the FCC to postpone it. Because in a way, I think the FCC is hurrying up because they think that we want to do it sooner. And I think there is some thought given to maybe asking them to wait till fall to give us a chance to get more organized. This will be the last chance to get these licenses. So this will establish the community radio map, or lack of, for that forever, probably.
Margaret.
Yeah, the report is really exciting. The fact that the number of affiliates is growing at the rate that it is, I think, really says something. I wanted you to address a little bit, or maybe anyone else on the ED or overall responsibility level, the issue that I raised earlier. I don't know if you were in the room, and I raised the problem that unpaid programmers and producers are having being able to get their programs accessible so that people could even pick it up. I don't know, for example, if the affiliates that are picking up programs are doing it. Are they going to the audio port and just seeing perhaps what they're interested in and listening to? Are there specific ones that are recommended? I looked at the list, you know, here, for example, of the things that are being picked up. But it really is a bit of a crisis for unpaid programmers and producers to be able to do all of what is involved, you know what I mean, to package the programs in the way that they need to be packaged. And I'm not sure what the answer is. You might have some suggestions for that, but I think that would also help with the diversity issue that you refer to as well. Right. You have some comment or ideas on that, or anybody else?
I actually do spend it's there. There is a chunk of the time I do helping producers who want to get out there. If somebody calls me, I do what I can to advise them and to tell them what stations to call. I do try to help with that. The audio port was created for that reason, so that people could do that.
But beyond what you're able to do, because you're just one person, you know, dealing with over 100 affiliates, do you have some suggestions on perhaps what could be done even at the local station level or at any level?
You know, I think that's probably a discussion we should have, because it's a lengthy one, and I would be happy to have that. I think it's hard to do it, you know, but I definitely.
You want to respond quickly?
It also ties into what Margaret said earlier, and I wanted to mention. Solution here would be at the local station levels. If the local stations had, I'm not suggesting that they don't, but if they were all have a certain level of support structure, technical support, distribution support, a human or two for every 50, 100 unpaid staffers that provides that safety net, can help them get on the audio port, can help them get on the New Pacifica website.
Yeah.
I think the best solution would be to position people, support people at the local station.
And if I could on that, right now we have some people called producers who are paid to do shows. In our staffing model, as we take advantage of this stuff, with the services model that Ursula's talking about, the staffing that we're going to have to pay are the people who support the activity of many other people in the way you're describing, and also who support volunteers, because we should start leveraging volunteers in the way Democracy Now! Does. I don't know if people know their Rush transcript. They don't pay anybody for that. They have a group of people who care about what they're doing, each of whom has dedicated themselves to doing a five minutes worth of each day's transcript. So at the end of the transcript, when they post that Rush transcript, it came from 12 different volunteers, each of who took on a defined five-minute segment every time. And that's involving, that is leveraging the resources of the community in a non-monetary way to support civic media.
Yes. Sure it works.
Bertolt.
Hi, Ursula. This program came a long way from when I remember, as you mentioned, you know, we're losing affiliates. And I think one of the things that I would have loved you to emphasize more was the fact that we're giving value, and we do value more our affiliates than we used to in the past. And I think you mentioned that. I have one concern, though, is that, you know, this project is not, I don't feel it's really supported, at least in my local area. The local station board, you know, do not really understand or value this project. And I do not know if it's going to take the national board to try to convey that to them, or you're making presentation. The local board have so many issues, and that they do not really understand and value this. It's how would you address that issue? What do you suggest?
Well, you know, I think the Affiliates Task Force is the place to work on that. Last year was our first year, and we had some successes and some failures, and we actually did a survey of ourselves to figure out what went right and wrong. And I think this year that's part of the challenge, is to figure out how to ask the people on the task force to communicate on a regular basis to their local communities at the LSBs what's happening. I think that's why we have these things. So.
Okay, and with that, our time has expired for this item. I'll recognize AC for a last comment.
I just wanted to ask about building stations. Mm-hmm. I met some people in New Orleans who want to try and establish an affiliate station. Do you have a packet that we can...
Yeah, we do, but the first thing you should do is go to radioforpeople.org.
Radio.
That's a great place to start.
Okay.
The last part of the thing I gave you, the information, I really encourage you to look at that and go to the website that is taken from. That is an example I'm giving you of how an affiliate of ours, how affiliation has worked. This is a group of people that started just wanting to put Democracy Now in their area, and from there that's developed to a whole program based on Pacifica. And I don't want to go into it, but check it out on the web sometime. It's very educational.
It looks like a Pacifica website.
It's not. It belongs to a radio station in New Hampshire. But they formed a whole committee around Pacifica.
Right.
And it's really a lot of fun. Check it out.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say as I leave is I did go to the Media Reform Conference this year. And I just, it really needs to be said, media democracy is an issue that many people feel very strongly about right now. And it is very important that if Pacifica wants to stay on the map and to have a role in media issues in this country, that we need to consciously build an outreach strategy and decide what we want to say to this country, where we stand on media, because other people are filling in the vacuum that we are leaving. Thank
quickly,
you.
Quickly, yes. Okay, so the next, thank you very much, Ursula.
Yeah.